Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Spiritual Discoveries with Angie and Friends. I'm happy to see you today on this beautiful, beautiful sunny afternoon here in Lilydale. Today, I have with me, I know one of your favorites, Dr. Reverend Patricia Bell. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, Angie. Always a pleasure to be here with you.
I know. I love having you on. So I want to let you all know that right after I talked to Patricia, I have another friend, Jalen Law. That was the graphic you saw. He's going to be on in just a couple minutes. So, all right. So everybody, Lilydale is open. We're pretty excited about that. Right, Patricia?
Oh, it was amazing. I hope everybody got to see the Buffalo News about the monks, because that was an exciting, exciting event. And here we are, July 10th with Children's Week.
Yes. Well, yes. So here we go. There's people starting to come on. I'm just looking for comments. Okay. So we'll talk just for a second. Tell us, how did that go with the monks? Let's hear about that a little bit.
Oh, it was a big, big, big success. The pujas, everything. And we had 8 geishas. The blessing, I think, rocked through Lilydale. Just yeah. Absolutely amazing. And the Buffalo News did a wonderful spread.
They did.
So if you grab a copy of that paper, do so.
I saw it. And you're right. There's something about when the monks are in Lilydale and the way the energy is. And it's so exciting. I saw them walking down the street, you know, and you stop everything just to watch them. It's amazing. And their energy is amazing.
It's so peaceful.
Yeah.
It's so peaceful. And so to me, the second happiest week is when it's Children's Week.
I know.
And they come with their little joy and bubbly personalities. So, and it gives us such hope, Angie.
I know.
And so many parents say to me, oh my gosh, Patricia, I wish we had these classes when I was a kid. And so we're going to have the hands-on, the healing temple, teaching them how to do healing. We're
real quick, just say, so the purpose of Children's Week is to bring children to Lilydale and let them connect to their natural intuition and healing abilities, right?
And have fun.
That's right, too. That's important, too. I think sometimes we all work so hard, we forget about fun. We can learn a lot from children.
Well, you see, Angie, if you and I take our gifts from a place of fun and caring and loving, we don't have all that negative baggage. Mm-hmm. And kids are already open, and we're getting them to stay open. Mm-hmm. This is 18 years of a children's program here in Lilydale. And we've got, we're going to do astrology with crystal bowls.
Wow.
That there's a planet that goes with each sound. Wow. They're going to learn that. They're going to have a healing in the labyrinth with Bob Kiss. They're going to be at the healing temple. They're going to have pet communications. They're going to have forest bathing. They're going to spend a morning with Sir Tibbet Wicks learning how to do mediumship. And Dr. Dresman is going to be teaching the teens. And we're going to have Gerard Collins teaching creative writing through healing, and a beach party and a talent show, and Jake Kennedy is going to do sound healing.
Wow.
Do mediumship out at the stump. But another one of our big highlights, big, big, big highlights, is Diane Shenandoah.
Okay.
Who is coming to teach our children about the Native American teachings.
Wow.
She's already she's teaching Native American teachings at Syracuse University.
Amazing.
She has offered to come here.
Wow.
She's doing a fire ceremony.
Wow.
And also going to do the teachings that evening. It's amazing because our children, because we're spiritualists, you know that we here in Lilydale, we're very connected to Native grounds, because this is a Native burial place. And to have a Native American Indian woman like herself, I mean, we all know her sister who passed, yeah. Joanne Shenandoah, who was a Grammy winner. Yeah. We know her sister Michelle, who went to the Pope to make the Catholic Church apologize for what happened at Residential Children. And now we're teaching our children the oneness, the inclusiveness of us all being together.
Beautiful.
How we don't own the land, but we're caretakers and lovers of this planet. Yeah. This is so, so special.
Yeah.
It's such an honor to have her.
Sure is. That's beautiful. I love it. So Children's Week starts July 10th until July 16th. So, right. Okay. So it's held, like, do people have to sign up for all the days? Can they sign up for some of the days? Like, how does that work?
The key here is show up.
Okay.
Come to the license, grab your catalog. First class is at 10 a.m. Get there a little early because we have beautiful t-shirts, don't we?
Yes, I saw them. I love those.
It's awesome. You know, the t-shirts are very special because we became historic Lilydale. Because yeah. We are now a historic landmark according to the United States. And it says Children's Tune Week, Historic Lilydale. Now, after what happened in Buffalo, the Buffalo Bills came out with a shirt. They came and their shirt said, Choose Love.
Oh, I didn't see it. I saw yours, but yeah.
When the shooting happened at Tops, all the Bills wore black t-shirts saying, Choose Love.
Yeah.
So here in Lilydale, we decided we would have t-shirts that says, We Choose Love.
Yeah, I love those.
And so I get chills, really do, because these children are inclusive. There's no exclusivity here.
Yeah.
When you're working with spirit, you know that, Angie, mm-hmm. that we just have this love that transcends it.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yes. And you feel it. You know, we feel it when we do the work we do. Oh, here's Karen putting up Children's Week. Is that
schedule. Yeah.
Schedule. All right, Karen. All right, everybody. This is your schedule for Children's Week.
I'll try to zoom in, but I'll put this graphic up in the feed so you can look for it later.
Okay. Oh, thank you, Karen. Okay. There's Karen. Hi, Karen. Okay. That's excellent, everybody. So this is the schedule for Children's Week. It starts in Lilydale. It starts July 10th to July 16th. You just have to show up. So you don't have to register ahead, Patricia. You can just show up.
Well, the reason is this is a fundraiser. The t-shirts are a fundraiser. All these events, believe it or not, Angie, are taught. Every one of these instructors are teaching for free.
Wow. Wow. Awesome.
To support the children.
Wow. So look at this. Young people's healing class. Then we have spiritual meditation and labyrinth walk. I want to come to that. I want to come to it too. Pet connection, being the light, mediumship. So imagine, you know, teaching children, our children, everybody we're all naturally mediumistic. We're all intuitive and children are so connected to it. I know my grandchildren always have been. So what an amazing thing to bring your children and let them connect to their natural healing and intuitive ability so they can use them every day in their lives. You know, like, look at us. We get back to it more when we're older. Why not connect our children to meditation, right, Patricia, is amazing too.
Not only meditation, but using their intuitive skills. Now, Think about it, Angie, if you have an intuitive child and they pick up that somebody's got bad vibes around them, they're not going to go near that person at the playground, are they?
No. No.
And our children here in Lilydale are protected. We do have security that's going to be here. And we do have lifeguards on our beach. And, you know, we have got a talent show coming that's where they get to go up on stage and have their own voice.
Yeah.
You know, it isn't necessarily about becoming a cookie cutter medium. It's about using our intuitive skills through our entire life.
Yes.
Sort of knowing, listening to, if you grow up listening to that voice, you know?
Yeah.
Then you listen.
Yeah. And yeah, absolutely. And I think even meditation too, because I taught my granddaughter how to meditate and got her in a regular meditation practice. And guess what? She went to school and she wasn't as stressed about taking tests. You know, she wasn't as stressed about all the things that come with school and socialization and all that. It helped her tremendously.
Well, the thing about this program, it is fun. Yeah. And if you learn through happiness and fun and joy, that's inside of you. That's an experience inside of you forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
For you sure. know, and you're not scared of spirit and you learn about all these other things. But here's the best part about it. Each class is like $10 donation. And you get to bring your mother or your father or your grandma to come with you. And we invite them to come because we want them to see what you're hearing and seeing and doing.
Yeah.
So this way, when you're, well, you know, when your granddaughter comes up to you and says, "Grandma, there's a spirit in my room," you go, "Oh, yes, come on, tell me."
I did. I said, she said, "I think it's an angel." And I said, "Tell me all about it." You know,
there you go.
And that made me feel wonderful and her as well. So that's why I feel like this program is so important, because you're letting children talk about this. And I think it's great too, that what a great thing to do with your children. Come to Lilydale, bring your children. They participate in the classes and so do the adults. I love that too, Patricia. That's awesome.
And the reason I kept it at $10 was, if you have like three kids, that's a lot. I understand.
Yeah.
But we've never turned a child away.
Yeah.
And yes, we're going to have a talent show and there'll be cake. And yes, there'll be a beach party and there'll be pizza and wings. And yes, there will be an ice cream social. It's all so loving.
And I see too, pet connection with Reverend Joanne. So she's going to teach some like intuition with pets.
Yes, of course.
Yay. I love that too. That's exciting too. I'm reading all the sound healing with crystal bowls. Everybody loves that, right? So children get to participate in that.
Well, Jake has been part of this program. His mother and he argue how long. Oh, his mother says he's been coming since he was 10. And he is a certified sound healer.
Wow. That's awesome. So he's going to be there. So everybody, how can you not think about this? What a great thing. And come to Lilydale anyway. I mean, I can't even tell you, since opening day and I've been there, and everybody says this, as soon as I go through the gates, I feel the peace. You know, I feel like that every single time I go through the gates. I know everybody does. So come to Lilydale for sure. And absolutely take a look at Children's Week. If you have your children, you don't have to come the whole week. You can come any days that you want. I would definitely recommend coming the whole week if you can, but definitely like connect your children to this energy and back to their natural intuition to use in their regular daily lives, you know, and meditation and everything else that's here. So yeah. Excellent.
With Diane Shenandoah coming. This is, you know, she's coming all the way from Syracuse to do this. You know, this is, you don't always have an opportunity to sit with a native teacher like this.
Yeah, very special.
I mean, very, very special. And she's such a loving soul.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a wonderful opportunity.
And thank you, Patricia, too, because I know you do a lot of work with Children's Week, and thank you for bringing that to, and, you know, keeping that going for all these years in Lilydale. It's so important. And thank you for all the work you do with the monks and bringing the monks too. I wanted to thank you for that.
We are going to be doing our classes outside. Okay. I mean, with the Healing Temple, it's a little bit different, but we are going to maintain distance, and we are going to practice as much COVID safety precautions as possible.
Excellent.
We're going to have a great time.
Yes, yes, Steph, I can't wait. I'm going to be walking around trying to join in too. So, yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you, Patricia. Thank you so much for coming on too. I'm glad that we got to talk about Children's Week, and I'll be around all week. We'll talk about it some more.
Excellent. Excellent.
All right.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Patricia. Talk to you soon. Okay. Let's see. How do I do this, everybody? This is the technical part. All right. So now you have just me, and I'm going to bring on Jalen Law. I'm so excited. Hello, Jalen. Hi. How are you?
Hey. Good morning. Good morning. I'm doing well.
Yourself? I didn't hear you. Sorry. I interrupted you.
Oh, I said I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing real well. Thank you. Thank you. I'm really excited, everybody, to have Jalen on. We've talked about this for a while, getting on and talking and collaborating and working together. And everybody, this is my friend, Jalen. So, okay. So, you know, it's funny, too, because Patricia wanted to come on and talk about Children's Week. And you do a lot of work with children and teens.
Yes, it's I call it a very synchronistic conversation. Being in alignment to some of the work I do.
I thought so too.
Yeah, most definitely. A lot of my work is about teaching how to tap into your intuition, to your inner self from an artistic space, and how to use that superpower of your inner knowing, your inner compass, in order to help you evolve into a better person. And that's in a nutshell, what I try to do with the children and young adults that I work with on a day-to-day basis.
I love it. I love it. I have goosebumps. Just you talk. I think it's amazing. So, all right. So talk about, I have your bio. I'm not going to read, I won't make you listen to your bio, but still though, let's talk about it though. Cause you've been an artist since the age of four, right? You've always been interested in different forms of creation, painting, drawing, and sculpting. So talk about that a little bit, about art and how you got into it and how it's, because as we talked about, like, art being a way to heal your soul. So how has it done that for you?
Well, you know, art has always been there for me. I'll go back to this. If I go back to the origin story, my brother told me, and he was like 13 going on 14 at probably around this time. He said he saw me drawing at the age of two, drawing circles on the middle of the floor. I guess I was pretty easygoing baby. Just give me a paper and a pencil and I would figure it out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, art has always been an anchor for me, keeping me grounded, especially during times when things were going well and also when things are not going so well.
Yeah.
And, you know, in that process of that, I'm glad we're having this conversation because I can answer your question this way. Yesterday will mark over 20 years since my grandfather passed away. And he was a very pivotal force in my life and being able to, he recognized the talents that I had and he really took the time to cultivate and give me the confidence to really go after, you know, making something out of my artistic talents. And with his transition, I really leaned upon art as a way to help me heal through the grief of him not being physically present anymore.
Yeah.
And being able to use art as a way to, you know, not only benefit myself, but as a way to honor his memory in the process.
Excellent. So would you kind of almost feel like art would be like when you start drawing, is that a form of meditation?
Yes, it's definitely a form of meditation. You know, meditation is not just solely, you know, bare locked into you sitting in a quiet space, legs folded, and you have your mudra. Your mudra set with your hand positioning. You know, meditation is being in a space where you can be fully aware of not just fully aware of where you are in the moment and how you're relating to in the moment, and being able to utilize the information not as non-judgmentally as possible to further develop and cultivate those things within yourself. in order for you to get where you want to go, wherever that purpose is for you.
Love that. So what about, like, there's me who I can't draw. Like, I remember my grandkids asking me to draw a person, and I drew a stick figure, and they said, that's not good. You know, you have to draw better. So what if you're not an artist? How can you use art as meditation and to heal your soul?
Well, I always say this for my non-artistically inclined people. You know, art, the expression of art, is creativity. I have a lot of people that come across me when I tell them what I do. I'm not artistic at all. I'm not creative. You are creative, but you haven't trained that muscle. It's like going into the gym. You're not going to get 20 pounds of muscle overnight, or you're not going to lose 20 pounds overnight. You have to be consistently going into the gym, training and developing yourself. And that's the same way for art and creativity. Once you find a medium that you have an interest in, you have to be willing to be consistent in practicing that medium to get the skills necessary to get that end result. But within that process, as you're trying to figure it out, you know, you have the technical side of art, but you also have the intuitive side of art, and art has a way of being able to help you tap into that inner compass, that inner knowing, to help you be able to know how to maneuver your way in creating that piece of artwork. And in that process, you'll find that it can be very healing, because you'll start to find your mind will start drifting to making connections to different things that may not be on the surface, not related to the work that you're creating. Mm-hmm. But you may find yourself saying, as you're drawing that drawing, you're creating that portrait, you're starting to make connections about why you may behave in a certain way, and how that behavior may show up in different relationships. And then it's almost like circular, and it'll almost like circularly relate into the work that you're creating, be it drawing, be it painting, sculpting, or whatever that medium you're working on.
I love that. You teach this too, don't you?
Yes. Yeah, so currently I've, since 2018, I had the pleasure to be able to develop a program that basically teaches kids how to develop their emotional intelligence. And, you know, through the help of the president of Yale University, who was one of the pioneers of emotional intelligence research, Dr. Peter Salovey, he was gracious enough to send me some of his research papers. And I combined that with my experience with art, because I went to school for art. Mm-hmm. And I created this comprehensive program that teaches children how to develop their social and emotional skills using the three art vehicles, mm-hmm. music, art, and writing.
Wow. Love that. And so that's your emotional intelligence program, right?
Correct. Correct.
Talk about that, because I read about that. I couldn't wait. I know we've talked about it before, but I'm really excited to hear you talk more in detail about it. Is it so?
Oh, well, yes. So with how a typical class, I'll start here, like a typical day in class. If I'm in person, because with COVID that changed everything around. When I'm in class and all my students come in, each student is provided a set of wireless headphones that I got personally customized with, like, my logo and everything on it. That's and nice. the wireless headphones, that is for the musical component of the class. And so we'll go through different genres of music to be able to stimulate how they comprehend the information that they're learning, as well as be able to stimulate different forms of thinking as they're receiving the information. So while the music is playing in the wireless headphones, they can also hear me teaching through the headphones through a microphone, and they can also hear each other talking through the headphones as well. Wow. So it's a multi-stimulating experience. And then while they're going through that part, we're learning evidence-based basic psychology, basic neuroscience, and how different parts of the brain, you know, what role different parts of the brain plays into our emotional development, right, and also our decision making. And right. then as they're learning that information, we'll do different either art activities, or we'll do different reflection writing activities around the information, how it relates to them, to make it more personalized.
So what you're doing, and I'm looking at the sheet here on your website, but like teaching them how to manage emotion, understand emotion, perception of emotion, and use of emotion to facilitate thought.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. The emotional aspect to how we make decisions, the emotional aspect to our thinking, you know, that sometimes that can almost play as a background noise in the background, yeah, along with the beliefs and the societal thought process that we may carry when we are relating to one another. And so that background noise is influencing how we relate. And if we're not aware of the background noise, then we can become almost slave or not in control of, because we don't have that contextual understanding of what's influencing our behavior in the moment. And so
that can be just quick, like that's our emotions, right? And how we're feeling about things or what have you. So which I think it's interesting we're talking about this, because I had my sister on last week and we talked about grief, which is a huge emotion. And people don't know how to grieve, or we don't know how to feel. And that's kind of what you're doing.
Right. Right. Most definitely. And, yeah. As you're going through the process, depending where you are in life, when you go into this class, you're almost going through what the great Joseph Campbell, who helped influence the making of Star Wars, you're almost going through a hero's journey in yourself to really start digging deep about who you are and who you are in relation to what's around you, and how to utilize both that information inside and out to create the quality of life that you seek. And that's what I try to do with the children that I work with. Recently, I just completed a contract working with young teens out of Los Angeles who have experienced some form of sexual trauma or some sort of violent trauma. And, you know, the feedback that I received from the last class, because I did two classes, you know, a lot of them, as they went through the music part of it, and then when they did the art projects, a lot of them stated how much that really helped them develop their resilience to their triggers.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So I didn't even know you did that in LA. And so you did the whole thing. So you do it all online, like with you send them the headphones.
Yeah. For the online person, online courses, I wasn't able to send my headphones, but I was able to give them I gave everybody a when I was partnered with a nonprofit organization, and what we did is we supplied everybody with a book bag, and in the book bag it came with a pair of headphones, art supplies, writing utensils, and a journal, so they can be able to document their growth and their development when we're not in class together. Because what I like to always impart on my students, whether you are in the second grade or whether you are in college, the speaker is not important. The information is important, and your utilization of the information is important in order for you to create the life that you seek.
Yes. Wow. And that's what you're doing. I mean, everybody, how awesome is this? I love this. You have people, when I put you up on Facebook, right away Grace got on and said, I know Jalen. And actually Karen said, I know Jalen, you know, that's exciting. But I know you worked with Grace in helping teens, right? And that was like an after school program or something. I'm not sure.
Yes.
What it was. Yeah. And is that what you did, was this program, or you did like art with them?
Yes. It was it was pre-COVID when I was stages.
You in person at that time.
Yes, when it was much more comfortable in person.
Yeah, I know. But we'll be again. We'll get there again. We will.
Absolutely.
Grace is on. I see her. I don't know if you can see the comments. There's a lot of people saying hi to you. So Grace is one of them.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can't see the shout outs. Hey everybody. Good afternoon.
Hi. Yeah. Okay. So talk about your blog. So you have a blog now, right, on your website. I'm gonna have Karen put your website up.
Yes. I have a blog. I'm slowly but surely getting it together. But basically what I'm using the blog as a way to basically basically use it as a journal for people to really get a true understanding of what the emotional intelligence work that I do. You know, it's one thing, the challenges with the program that I'm constantly working to develop and improve is it's something that can't really be articulated. It's something that you have to experience. And then once people experience it, it's much more impactful.
Yeah.
You know, because art is when I bring up the keywords like art, and then, you know, it doesn't necessarily connect with people when it comes to when you say art and science, when you bridge the two together, people get so caught up on art because it's almost intangible.
Yeah.
And so what I do is I try to use the blog to make it more tangible for people to get a better contextual understanding about the work that I do when I'm in the classroom.
Love it. I love that. Okay. So let's talk the Jalen Law collection. So these are your drawings.
Yes. These are my paintings that I've completed over a series of, since I started this journey of being a full-time practicing artist, because initially I focused more on creating original artwork and selling original artwork before I expanded out to creating programs. Right. And, you know, I still do the full-time practicing artwork. Currently, I am, sometimes it's like, it's not what I do, it's what I don't do. Yeah. Currently, I'm working on a mural concept for a pizzeria in Niagara Falls. I'm also working on curating a art exhibit under my nonprofit called Buffalo's Own. I'm taking a cohort of 5 artists from Buffalo and give them a chance to exhibit their artwork outside of Buffalo in a larger art market. So I'm taking a group of artists to Dallas, Texas in October to do an art exhibit around their artwork for a month with a very popular art gallery in Dallas.
Excellent. That's awesome. I'm so proud of you. I've heard Jalen for a while. He's doing amazing, amazing things. Talk about your murals, because your murals are pretty special, and they're around the city of Buffalo and Niagara Falls, that if people are there, they can see them, right?
Yes, correct. I started the mural. I expanded into the mural journey in 2020 when the lockdown started, and you know, I wanted it gave me opportunity to pivot and really challenge myself in terms of seeing how far I can take my talents, so to, for lack of a better word. So my first mural project is what you'll see. It'll scroll back around. It was for the city of Buffalo to honor some of the frontline workers. And so I did. So my piece was a 5-foot by 10-foot piece.
Is that
one right there? Yes.
Can we stop it? Maybe not. Okay. That's all right though. Keep talk about it.
Yeah. I used oil paint for that one. And I worked on it for a month, and I just wanted to honor some of the past and present and future doctors and nurses with one comprehensive piece. And that one is, I believe it's installed on the Roswell building on Michigan High Street. But that opportunity took me to a larger mural project in Niagara Falls for the Niagara Falls Heritage Center, where that piece right there, I did a legacy piece around a Niagara Falls professional boxer by the name of Calvin Pop Porter. Now, the reason why I say legacy is because prior to the emotional intelligence work, I've developed a program, which is what I'm going to work more on the future, for hospice patients called the Legacy Program. And it's a multi-level portrait where I interview the hospice patient, and I take the information from the interview and I create a portrait around their life. And, you know, if they are still alive for me to present the final piece, and I get their blessing. And so I frame the artwork, and then based on their selection, I give it to either their family, friend, or family or friend, in order as a way to help decrease the impact of grieving for the hospice patient with grieving their own mortality, and decrease the impact of grief for their family member. And then on top of that, once they receive the portrait, they also receive a recording of the interview that I did through a QR code.
That is beautiful. I love that. That is awesome. What a way for them to kind of leave their legacy, and what a gift for the families then to have that after. So they get a recording of you talking to their loved one, and you make a painting of their life.
Yes, absolutely. Because how many times do we, you know, we lose a loved one of ours that we truly care for, they transition, and we have a voicemail of them on our phones, and then for some kind of way, the voicemail gets deleted or the phone gets damaged and we never hear their voice again. Yeah. And then that adds another level of loss. But this strategy is to help, you know, close that gap to where they, as long as they keep and maintain that QR code, they will always forever have that, because that will be stored online through a private link for them to constantly listen to.
So it's always there. That, you know what, I've had people say that I wish I could hear her voice again, or I wish I could hear his voice again, and something right. like that, or even just to hear the legacy. Like, I wish I would have talked to my mom and had her write a book or something, because there's so many things I can't remember, right? And right. I think loved ones too, you know, they want to be remembered. So that's comfort, so much comfort for people. I love that. It's beautiful. Would you do that, like, say, if somebody's already passed, and then talk to the family? You could still do it, right? Because they could talk about their memories, and you could still create the artwork.
Yes, you know, to us, in my own personal life, I've done that. So last year, I did a lot of. I became curious about my family's genealogy, and mm-hmm. I was able to find 4 generations on both sides of my family, and I was able to find a picture of my, I think, 3 times great grandfather. Mm-hmm. And you know, and on top of that, I was able to find a whole family reunion book on his life, because he lived during the 1800s.
Wow.
And they were able to describe how his voice sounded, how tall he was, how he walked. And so wow. I did my own version of legacy for myself, and did like a sketch of him to get that same experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So you'd have that. I love that. That's awesome. I know that you told me a little bit about that you were doing this program, but now I'm hearing more about it. I love it. I mean, I you are such a healer, like, in all ways, like doing that, but doing the artwork and helping teens and children to feel their emotions and know how to deal with them, or art kind of is as an outlet, it sounds like, for that, and to get focus on art and understand your emotions.
Yes.
And
yes.
We have to, like, isn't that, like, one of the things I think in life, and I know I myself have done it, is we don't feel the emotions. We push them down because we're busy. Right. And then, like you said, they're kind of affecting us, and we're going through our lives, and we have something outside, you know, we don't know why do I feel like this, or why can't I get past this? And so you're teaching them and kind of giving them a gift they can use for their whole lives to understand and not suppress, how to deal with emotion and not suppress it. Right.
Right. Right. And be able to get into that space to utilize that. If it's a painful sensation, utilize that pain and become your own alchemist. Turn that, to be able to transform that pain and transmute that pain into a golden experience, to be able to find to use art to find a way to non-judgmentally, objectively observe that pain, observe those uncomfortable emotions, integrate the lessons from them, and then be able to go on and move forward, having a larger tools in your toolbox, to handle the situations that may have caused that pain initially, but to come at it from a more resilient, a more evolved state.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I mean, and that's like you said, using it, even like I think about in mediumship or intuition, you're nervous, but you can use that nervousness to propel you, right? I mean, it's using whatever there is and learning from it.
Right, right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you too, the story about the boxer, when you had that was the boxer that you drew. That's in Niagara Falls, right?
Yes.
Wasn't there a story about him too?
Yeah, so his name is Calvin Pop Porter, and he was a professional fighter based out. He was born in Niagara Falls. He made the 1980 U.S. Olympic team. I believe that was the team that didn't go to the Olympics that year, but he moved on from there. He moved to Philadelphia and trained in Joe Frazier's boxing gym. Wow. And he trained under the tutelage of Joe Frazier at the time. And he fought 10 fights before he ended up getting blinded in one eye, forcing him to retire. And in that process of him retiring, he moved back to Niagara Falls. And he was very impactful in the community with some of the youth in his community, you know, teaching some fighters. A lot of those fighters became trainers themselves or became fighters in some shape or form. But unfortunately, I believe it was like the early 2000s, he transitioned trying to break up a domestic dispute between a friend and his girlfriend at the time, and he ended up catching the worst of it. So it left a void in the community, to a silent void in the community. And so when I applied to become one of the muralists in 2020 for the Heritage Center, I mean, they selected me. I wanted to work with Calvin Pop Porter because I was familiar with who he was, because as a youth, I used to box as well. Okay. And instead of just merely doing a traditional portrait mural, I decided I wanted to integrate the legacy program into this because of that void. And so what I did first is I, with the help of the Heritage Center and with the help of Mr. Saladin, who works at the Heritage Center, I scheduled an interview with his surviving siblings. Mm-hmm. And I interviewed them. I recorded the interview. And then the last interview that I did in the process, I interviewed his oldest son about his life and who he was and what did he mean to the community of Niagara Falls. Wow. And so when I completed the artwork, I wanted to use color as a way to pull and magnetize people into the work. Mm-hmm. to get an interest into who this figure is.
Right.
And on the very right side, or my right to your left of the mural, I installed a plaque that has a QR code on it where people can scan that QR code. And it will take them directly to my website where they can watch both of the interviews that I did with his five siblings and also with his eldest son about who he was.
Wow. Wow. That's beautiful. Like, what a way to honor him. And that painting is beautiful. I love it. It's so nice. Where is that? If people want to go see that, I know it's in the Falls.
Yes. I believe the street is called West Depot. But it's right on I believe that's their main street. But it's right on the main street of where the Heritage Center Museum is at.
Okay.
But I believe that street is West Depot. I don't have the if I can recall.
Yeah, I want to go to Roswell and see the other one. That's beautiful too. You're so talented. I mean, detail in your paintings, and I think too, it's the emotion, you know, and that you're doing things to honor people, like to honor Calvin Pop Coolidge,
Pop Porter. They call him Pop because of his punches.
Okay, and that you did honor the workers. For COVID too, is amazing. The medical workers, I love it. So Jaylen, if people want to know, like say somebody wants to talk to you, like about the emotional intelligence program, or when is the next one? I mean, I definitely think that you have to like have one of those through Santosha for sure.
Oh yeah, most definitely. If anybody would like to talk to me, I can. You can contact me through my website at thejaylenlawcollection.com.
I think Karen, actually I see right there. Oh, actually I just noticed Karen posted in comments. So
yes,
and they can find out about the emotional intelligence program and the pictures if they have somebody in hospice or
yes,
if you had somebody that passed and you want to have their life story documented and a piece of artwork. I mean, I have to talk to you because I think I need to get one for my sister. That's beautiful.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You can gladly contact me through my website, thejaylenlawcollection.com, you know, to get to contact me, whether it's about art, whether it's about my artwork, whether it's about emotional intelligence or the legacy program. On another note, what I expanded into this year is I decided to do my own online classes around emotional intelligence. So I completed my first independent online class with about 20 kids.
Did you?
Earlier this month. I haven't got the second class released yet due to my hectic schedule. Currently I'm in Georgia. I just finished running a track meet.
I wanted you to talk about your track too, because I know you're also an excellent runner, but finish what you're talking about and then you can tell us about that.
Yeah, so I plan on doing the second class of emotional intelligence where we'll meet online again, probably going into the fall, most likely.
Okay. I love that. That's excellent. And okay. So talk about your running.
Well, running is a family sport. I say that because on my father's side, doing the genealogy work, and the family history work, I found out that, I'm related to, an athlete by the name of John Woodruff. He was an 800 meter runner. Mm-hmm. He ran longer distance than I did, and he was a world record holder in the 800 meter, and he was on the Olympic team with Jesse Owens during the time 1936 in Berlin when the Nazis were in power. Mm-hmm. And I was also found out that I'm a distant relative to Jackie Robinson, who was also a prominent track athlete as well. Yeah. On my mother's side, running is very popular. My brother, he was a professional athlete as well as a national champion with the University of South Carolina. For me, I'm currently trained with a team based out in Europe, in Spain. And you know, my seasons are, we travel around the United States. We have circuits. So you have the circuit in the United States, circuits in Europe and the Caribbean. And that's how one way runners make their living as professional runners.
Wow. Beautiful. I love it. I love that. I didn't know that about your brother too. That's awesome.
Yes. And I just completed a track meet here in Georgia. It was I just found out it was like televised, not like today. But this is like one of my second to last meet this year. My last meet will be in Memphis later this month.
Oh, wow. Good for you. You know, Jalen, I wanted to ask you too, because I know the last time we talked, you're doing some work and helping around the situation, the shooting at Tops.
Yes. I'm currently working. I'm part of a committee that's partnering up with the Tops as well as with the Buffalo Urban League. And we are doing creating a public art installation. So I'll be doing a public art installation with a cohort of other African-American artists. And this will be used to honor the community and also honor the memory of those lost. And people will have different themes, family, children, themes along that matter of artwork that will be installed by Tops themselves around the Tops on Jefferson. And, I am working on a project where I'm working with one of the survivors of Tops. It was a little girl named London. I'm working with her because she's an artist as well. And I'm using this time my intentions are to mentor her and to help her cultivate and develop her artistic abilities. Yeah. And be able to give her a chance to create a piece for this installation.
That's beautiful. And you're going to help her like through art. I can feel that so strongly. She's going to heal because she doesn't know what to do with her emotions and everything that's kind of left with her. And that's right. What you're going to work with her on.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, it's my intention to, you know, just do the best that I can to be able to at least give her an opportunity to do that and be able to move the emotions, process, integrate, and to become stronger than what she's are what she who, what she already is. And
go ahead, keep going. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
But the installation, the I think the I think we're going to do a public unveiling and the installation, and it will be July 15th. So in a couple weeks, and it should be very interesting and exciting in a very weird way. Hopefully this will provide more healing.
It's a good way, because that's what it is you're helping them heal, you know, because I think there's so much pain in the community where it happened, but everywhere, you know, and you're helping people heal. It's amazing. Thank you.
Yes.
For what you're doing.
No problem.
You know, I have Diane, and she says, here, I'm gonna pull up comments so you can see, because I know you can't see the comments. This is wonderful that you can work with them to honor those that were lost at TOPS. I have goosebumps. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh, here's another one too. I want you to see them. Thanks for the date. This is Sharon. Thanks for the date of the installation so we can attend. All right.
Yes. Excellent. Absolutely.
Yeah. We're ready to have you back on and talk about this more. This is just Colleen. Cool. too. You know. Yeah. And Grace, I find them. I'll send you the comments so you can see them. But yeah, I think we're getting good comments all the way around here. So I want to post Jalen's website for everybody. Let me see if I can find that. Here we go. That might be your Facebook page.
I posted his Facebook and his website. I do see that you have a newsletter, so I would encourage people to sign up there as well, right? To follow your latest work. That's
pretty yes. On the newsletter, I every month I provide our artwork of the month that I'm working on, as well as giving people updates on the emotional intelligence work or any other installation projects that I may be working on, either here or in different areas of the country.
Excellent.
So just to stay up to date, you know, follow the newsletter, and you will receive, you know, full up to dates about all the different nuances and projects that I'm working on.
Okay. Is this it?
So this is one of the most recent newsletters that I completed.
Wow.
This month will be my business anniversary in a way. So mm-hmm. I started in 2013 with building an art business around my art around my talents while mm-hmm. I was in college. So I'm just celebrating my for that email newsletter. I was just celebrating my anniversary in a way.
Congratulations. Happy anniversary. That's quite an accomplishment. That's awesome. You don't have an example of one of the hospice pictures, do you? I don't know. I didn't look on there to see.
I have one on my website. It is under press, and it's one of the early pages. There's one particular legacy portrait that's done of a man named Veranza Bowers Jr. You should be able to see. And to give you some brief history, in 2016, I graduated college. I knew that I wanted to go down this path to really figure out how to be a successful full-time practicing artist. And so I hired business coaching. Mm-hmm. I got a business coach, and I did like a 12 week boot camp. And, my business coach, Ms. Veronica Conway, who's an amazing person, she has a very unique history. Her father was part of the original Black Panther Party. He came from Oklahoma, moved to Oakland, and he was very, you know, the political climate of the time, and seeing the struggle of the everyday Black people in his community, you know, inspired him, wanted to take community action to really improve the lives of the people in the community. So he joined the Black Panthers at the time. And at the age of 25, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Bowers was arrested on charges of murdering a sheriff, I believe. Wow. But when you look at the case records and you look at the evidence, he was sleeping in his home with Veronica, who was a baby at the time.
Yeah.
And so the federal agents, got two of his close friends. They paid two of his close friends to say that he was present at the time of the murder and that he committed to murder. One got paid in cash and one got paid in Mr. Veranza's property. And so Mr. Veranza, since the 70s, has spent over 50 years in prison across the country. And at the time when I was working at the boot camp with Ms. Conway, we found out that Mr. Bowers had a severe case of stomach cancer, and we didn't know if he was going to make it. And so what I wanted to do for her as my way of saying thank you for working with me and helping me get to another level in my life, not just in business, I did a legacy program for her as a gift. I didn't really tell her. I tried to contact the prison that he was located in at the time, which was in North Carolina, but the warden kept denying me. But I happened to find an interview that he did in the early 2000s, which was like an hour long, talking about his life and talking about the legacy that he wanted to leave.
Yeah.
And I used that interview and I created a immersive portrait of Mr. Varanza in his life. And on the bottom right corner of the portrait, I left that purely white and blank because I wanted that to be a representation of that his story is not over, even though he's going through this illness, and and that's still a story that he has to write.
Yeah.
And luckily and thankfully, with support from his daughter, and he was able to heal from his cancer, and he's still alive. And she's still fighting and advocating. Many others are advocating for his release currently. But that was an example of a legacy portrait that I completed for him. Matter of fact, on my website in the press section, I uploaded the interview that I used to paint his portrait.
You did? Okay, so that's there. I'm gonna be listening to it. Thank you. Yes. And I love that you left it. His story's not over, and you left that section, and that you honored him that way. You know, and I honored his family and honored his work.
That's right.
Yeah, Jalen, you are doing amazing things. You really, really are. You know, I think you're an example of follow your dreams, and believe in yourself and deal with your emotions. And you're amazing. I'm so happy that you came on today.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate this opportunity. I really do. And, this is one of many opportunities we will be working together. I think we'll, as a fellow healer, we'll be doing a lot of healing work together in some shape or form. 100%
agree. And we've talked about some things, and we're absolutely going to do more, but you are, thank you for everything you're doing and the difference you're making. And I think it's important to come on and talk about it. So others do that too, follow your dreams, help people, follow your
absolutely.
Heart. Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So I want to, everybody, thank you so much for watching today. I want to thank Jalen Law, my friend, for coming on, my fellow healer here. Thank you to Karen Sully for being in the background and pulling up all the website information and the pictures. I loved seeing all your paintings. They're amazing. And thank you also to Dr. Reverend Patricia Bell for coming on, talking about Children's Week. So I hope everybody has a wonderful 4th of July. Happy 4th of July. And again, thanks for taking time out of your Sunday to join us. I'll see you again next week. Thank you, everybody.
Take care.
Thank you. Yeah.